Chapter 5. At the Hospital. At the hospital, Nazneen would not leave Raqib's side. Without him, life would not be possible. For 3 days, Chanu ate only cheese sandwiches from the hospital cafe. On the fourth day, he went home and cooked a curry. He brought some to the hospital for Nazneen. He held her hand.
Do you want to go home for a while?
No, said Nazneen. Did you bring his blanket? Raqib needs his special blanket.
I've got it.
Raqib was still asleep. His small body was covered in little red spots. He needed help to breathe. Tubes connected him to different machines. Nazneen put his special blanket beside him. She sat on one side, and Chanu sat on the other. In the long nights and days at the hospital, Nazneen watched her husband as well as her son. She saw that he was always busy questioning doctors, moving furniture, bringing coffee. For the first time, she felt that they were not so different. They just had different ways of doing things. Nazneen tried to find peace inside herself, through praying. Chanu tried to find peace outside himself. While she tried to deal with her thoughts by turning them off, he tried to do it by arguing aloud. While she tried not to think about the future, he never stopped thinking about the next degree, promotion, or business project. And Nazneen thought, my father didn't choose so badly. There are many bad men in the world, but Chanu is not one of them. The days passed, and Raqib seemed to be getting better. Nazneen had spent every moment willing him to live. And he did, because of her.
He's going to be all right now, said Chanu. We'll take him home soon.
When he's ready, she said. She felt extremely happy. In the family room, Nazneen saw Razia.
I'm glad you came. How is your husband?
We're not speaking, said Razia.
He won't give me money to buy things for the children. Jorina can get me a sewing job, but my husband says that if I take it, he'll kill me.
Anyway, you don't need to hear my troubles. Nazneen changed the subject. Mrs. Islam hasn't called. I offended her. Chanu doesn't know.
I'll tell you something else he doesn't know, said Razia.
She's a usurer. Nazneen was shocked. Lending money in order to demand repayment with a lot of interest was against the laws of Islam.
It's true. She offered to lend me money. I thought she was just being a good person. But I asked my friend Amina. She's paying 33% interest on money that she borrowed from Mrs. Islam. She couldn't pay last time, and Mrs. Islam now wants extra. If Amina doesn't pay, Mrs. Islam's sons will break her arm.
Nazneen could not speak. She stared at her friend.
Time for me to go, said Razia. I have some things to do before I collect the children.
On the eighth day, Nazneen was in the corridor outside Raqib's room when Chanu arrived. He had been to work that morning for the first time in more than a week. They're cleaning the room, she told him. It won't take long. She waited for him to speak. But he did not. It made her uncomfortable. Finally, he cleared his throat.
I left my job today.
What do you mean?
There were some surprised faces, he said. But Chanu was the one who looked surprised.
Don't they need you? He cleared his throat again.
Of course. But when I decide to do something, it is done. That's the way I am. I think they've finished Rakib's room. Let's go.
Nazneen followed him. She wanted to ask Chanu what they were going to do for money, but she did not.
This boy is so clever, said Chanu. See the size of his head.
He's getting stronger. I'll go home tomorrow and get everything ready for him, said Nazneen. She put her hand on Rakib's head to give him strength. Then she remembered that only God gave strength. She remembered the story of how you were left to your fate. Her mother had not tried to save her. She had let God decide. But the story suddenly made Nazneen feel violently angry. A mother who did nothing to save her own child. If Nazneen had not brought the baby to hospital immediately, Rakib would have died. She had not sat at home crying, calling for God to do what he wanted. That evening, Nazneen woke up and saw Razia standing in the dark hospital room. She knew at once that something was wrong.
"What is it?" she cried.
"Shh, don't wake Rakib," said Razia. She sounded as if she might cry. Razia sat down. It took her a while to speak. Finally, she said, "My husband is dead. There was an accident at his work." Nazneen tried to find words. "The children?" "At Mrs. Islam's. I told everyone I wanted to be alone. But when they had gone, I didn't want to be alone. So I came here." Nazneen held Razia's hand and tried to take some of Razia's pain into herself. "I suppose I can get that sewing job now," said Razia. At home the next day, Nazneen had a bath and wrote a letter to Hasina, but she could not really relax. She was soon back at the hospital. Chanu did not hear her come in. She put her hand on his shoulder. He did not look up. Then she saw that the little bed was empty. The doctors must be doing more tests on Rakib.
"He's gone," said Chanu.
"Don't worry, they'll give him back to us soon."
"Will you wash him? I don't think I can wash him."
"I always give him his bath," said Nazneen. She looked at the plastic cups by the sink, the clothes everywhere. "I need to tidy up."
"Your son is not even cold yet," cried Chanu. "Don't tidy up."
"My son..." Nazneen refused to understand. Chanu's cheeks were wet.
"We have to go and get him. They won't bring him back here."
"They won't bring him back here." She was still holding the plastic cups.
"They said they will be finished with the body quickly. They said they know how quickly we Muslims like to bury our dead."
"How quickly we like to bury our dead." She began to tidy up the clothes. Chanu came to her and held her arms. She would not let go of Rakib's jacket. To get her to sit, he had to push her onto the bed. Yes, she would wash him. She had brought him into the world, and she would take him out.